Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Hey, it's good to be here, right? Me and Ames were away last weekend for our 7th wedding anniversary. I know. We went away without the kids. Thank you, Mark and Nicole. Or should I say thank you, Nicole? And we went to a hotel. We went out for a meal at 7:30 p.m. I know. We ordered and ate the same food that we ordered without having to dish it up to other mouths at the table. We got back to the hotel and had drinks in the bar. It's like this other world that's available to people without young kids. It was incredible. And what we realise when we go away together, we are both planners. So we like to plan the activities we're going to do. We like to plan where we're going to go, when we're going to go there. We like to plan what we're going to do when we get to those places. We like to know the car park we're going to drive to before we have to end up sort of touring a city, trying to find a parking space. We are both planners. And I'm aware in this room that some of you will be like me and Amy, and you will be planners. You like setting alarm clocks, even on the weekend. You like knowing when you go away on holiday, which days you're going to go to the beach, which days you're going to stay in the hotel, which days you're going to go to the city. Some of you like planning events. Others of you feel a bit restricted when someone else in your life tries planning your life for you. Some of you feel a little bit restricted by the calendar invites you get on your phone. Some of you like to be a little bit more spontaneous with your time and just play it by ear a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Can I have a hand up for the spontaneous people? There we are. Can I have a hand up for the planners? There we are. About half and half. Some planners, some spontaneous people. And what it does is that the difference between us is how we plan our lives, how we plan our events, how we plan the things that are coming up. Some of us like it written down, planned out, thought through. Others of us like to be more spontaneous, play things by ear. And that affects everything we do. Every decision we make is weighted to one of those two areas. And it affects how we go on holiday, how we rest, how we plan for work. It's dependent on which side of the spectrum we fall. And I've realized in my life, and I think this is true in your life as well, that there's another way, another motivating factor in how we plan our lives, how we plan our events, and how we make decisions. There's another thing in our lives that changes the way we view things. It changes the way we make decisions and the way we encounter problems. And it's this difference. We can encounter things with fear, or we can encounter things with faith. We can encounter events, circumstances, problems with fear, or we can encounter it with faith. And you see, the world we live in, and this is something that I've recognized more and more as I've grown up, the world we live in is heavily weighted towards planning with a fear-based mindset. All you need to do is spend 30 seconds on the Sky News website, and every headline is fear-based. It doesn't matter what the stats are, it doesn't matter what the circumstance, what the event is, everything is fear-based. Why? Because they know that fear sells. If they can shoot a scary headline out there, they're more likely to get clicks, which gets advertising revenue because you're the commodity that's being sold. And so they know that if they can create a fear-based headline, it's more likely to appeal to you because we live in a world that is fear-based. And it affects everything we do and every decision we make. I know so often in my life, I can naturally start thinking about the worst case scenario. It doesn't matter what's happened. My brain just naturally goes to the worst case scenario. For example, I've cut my finger. I start Googling symptoms of sepsis. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I should probably just chop this off now before it gets any worse. Right, we start planning for the worst case scenarios. I don't know about you, but if you think back to maybe a family crisis you might have had or a struggle you had in the workplace or with friends, I bet you probably started planning for the worst case scenario. You probably started thinking through, right, how can I protect myself from what's inevitably going to happen here? Because that's the world we live in. That's what surrounds us. You know, and this is another thing I'm realizing as I get older, there are so many insurance policies available. One Google and I could have bought house insurance, contents insurance, holiday insurance, pension insurance, income protection insurance, life insurance, illness insurance, and critical illness insurance. Now, insurance is not a bad thing. please don't cancel your car insurance policy because you're living out of faith. But what I am trying to challenge is the driving motivation behind a world that constantly pushes insurance policies. Is it one of faith or is it one of fear? Thinking through the worst case scenario, trying to protect ourselves from what might inevitably happen in our lives. Fear versus faith. And when I approach these things, and especially as I'm trying to lead my young family, I often think through, like, surely there's a better way to make decisions. Surely making decisions based on fear, thinking through the worst case scenario, trying to protect myself from what could happen, surely there's something better that can happen in this moment. And a lot of you will know the story of our youngest, Lena. She spent some time in hospital just after she was born. And she got admitted to the intensive care unit quite dramatically. It was the same day we were expecting to go home. I'd taken the bags home, and then the call came that she'd been moved to intensive care. And we get there, and obviously the nurses and the doctors, they're preparing you for worst case scenarios. That's their job, to help manage you through that moment. And I remember they looked at me and said, oh, you're probably going to want a parking permit for the next month, just to prepare you and make sure you're not spending, you know, 20 quid a day on hospital parking. So here's a form you can fill in, and it just costs £5 a day for your parking, and that'll be good for the rest of this month. And what that is that's a fear-based decision maker. The fear is, oh, we're going to be here for the next month or the next 8 weeks. The decision maker becomes one of fear, so I best protect myself, in this case, by buying a parking permit for the next month. But surely there's a better way to live our lives. Surely there's a way we can live our lives that isn't constantly based on fear, that isn't constantly based on protecting ourselves from what could be the worst case scenario. Because what happens is fear is so restrictive. It restricts our thinking, it restricts our life, it restricts our motivations, it causes us to live smaller and smaller and smaller. And surely there's a better way to live than being dominated and driven and decided by a life of fear, right? Surely there's a better way. That's where Jesus comes in. See, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was walking through the streets of Galilee, and someone encountered him who was in a terrible situation. A guy called Jairus, who was the leader of one of their local synagogues, or a bit like a church today, comes to Jesus, and Jairus' daughter is sick, but not like just a cold or a flu, like she is on her deathbed. And I imagine Jairus would have gone to every doctor he could have gone to. He would have sought out every medication he could have sought out for his daughter in the same way anyone would if their child was sick and at death's door. And then he hears about Jesus, this great teacher who's got some incredible stories of healing that are following him around. The same stories that we can all read about in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so Jairus hears that Jesus is passing through the town. And so Jairus drops everything. He leaves his daughter at home and he goes and seeks out Jesus. And he tells Jesus his story. He says, Jesus, my daughter is on her deathbed. Can you please help me? And Jesus is like, yes, of course I will. But the thing is, Jesus is never in a rush. And so Jesus is just moseying on through his day, and he sort of sets a course for Jairus' house, but something else happens and someone else gets healed. Silly Jesus healing someone else at the same time. And Jairus is like, come on, my daughter. And in that moment, someone else from Jairus' household comes and says, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Like, worst case scenario. Just because it happened 2,000 years ago doesn't make it any more heartbreaking. This guy's daughter has just died, even though Jesus was on his way to try and save her. And Jesus overhears this commotion. He overhears the servants telling Jairus just to go home, to leave it. It's too late. And Jesus says these incredible words that really touched my heart. Jesus says this to Jairus, and I believe he says it to us today. He says this in Mark chapter 5, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. And I think if you're in this room and you wouldn't maybe call yourself a follower of Jesus yet, there's this incredible invitation that Jesus gives us, not to have to live a life of fear, not to be driven by worst case scenario thinking or trying to protect ourselves from what might inevitably happen. There's this invitation to step into a life of faith. But if you are a follower of Jesus here, this is more than just an invitation. For us, this sounds a lot like a command, right? Don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. Don't constantly think through the worst case scenario. Don't plan for the worst case scenario. Instead, just believe. Now, it's not that easy, is it? It's not as easy as saying, don't be afraid, just believe. Because if it was, we'd all do it all the time. Because we're surrounded in a world of noise that is constantly shooting us with fear tactics. And we live in a society that is constantly based around fear. And you have probably been brought up in a way that you cause yourself the need to protect yourself from worst case scenarios, because that's all you've ever known. So it's not as easy as simply not having fear and believing. But that doesn't mean it's any less important for us. And I think if we can learn to step into a life of faith over a life of fear, we'll start to see some incredible things happening. See, we were in hospital with Lena, and I just remember that the nurse gave me this form for a parking permit for the month. And I just remember something in my spirit was like, no chance. Like, no chance am I spending a month of my life in here. No chance am I going to be coming back and forth for the next month trying to look after Romeo at home and help Amy and Lena in the hospital. No chance is that happening. And I had an opportunity in that moment to make a decision based on fear. And fear says, oh, well, the doctors say you're going to be here for a month to 8 weeks, so you're probably going to be here for a month to 8 weeks. Fear looks at my beautiful little girl in the incubator and says, oh, well, that's not going to change any time soon. Fear starts Googling all the various illnesses they said she had and start thinking through the worst case scenario. And fear would say, well, you best protect yourself and get that parking permit for the next month. But faith, in that moment, faith said something different. See, my Bible says, and your Bible will say the same thing, talking about Jesus and his death and resurrection, by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. And so I had some faith in that moment. I was like, no, I'm not going to align myself with what the facts of this situation might be. I'm not going to align myself to what fear is speaking into me in this moment. But actually, I want to align my soul and my spirit and my decision making with faith that says, we're not going to be spending a month to 8 weeks here. Like, that's unacceptable. I don't want to do that. And that may be easy-ish in the moment, but what we all know, and maybe the hardest part of this walk with Jesus, is that gap between believing the promise, that gap between hearing the word of God, that gap between reading about Jairus, and then believing and seeing it through yourself. Because it's not like I threw that parking permit application into the bin, picked up my daughter and went home that day. That's not what happened in the moment. And there's a gap between sometimes receiving the word and seeing it play out. See, Jairus had Jesus turn to him. And Jesus says to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. But Jairus' daughter in that moment was dead. Like, the word has just come. She is dead. Right, so Jairus has been told not to have fear but to believe. But his daughter is literally in that moment dead. And see, there's accounts of Jesus where he would speak healing or he would declare healing, and he'd be absent from the person that needs healing. So there's a story of a Roman centurion whose child was sick, and Jesus says, "Go, she's well," and heals from a distance, right? And so, like, Jesus had the ability to heal Jairus' daughter right there, right then, but Jesus walks with Jairus to his household. And Jesus sees the commotion and the wailing, which is to be expected. And Jesus sees the pain and the hurt and everything that's going on. And Jairus sees that as well. Jairus knows that Jesus is with him. Jairus knows that Jesus has the power to heal him, otherwise he wouldn't have gone in the first place. But there's a period of time between the promise being spoken, the promise being given, and it coming to pass. And I think that's possibly the hardest part of being a Christian, because you have the promise and you believe for the promise and you have faith for the promise. But my daughter was still in an incubator. Jairus' daughter was dead. And you might go home today and you open up your bank statement and there's still a lot of debt there. Or you might turn up to work tomorrow morning and that problem person or that problem situation is still there. Or you might be battling something in your life, and even though you've heard an incredibly uplifting message and had a lovely time in church, like, it's not shifted immediately, because there's a gap. And if you've been walking with Jesus for any number of years, you will have experienced this gap, this time difference between the promise being given and you believing for the promise and maybe seeing it come to pass. And I think for some of you and some of us, we can give up in that moment, because we can have faith on the Sunday morning, and we can have faith when we're singing great worship songs with Holly, and we can have faith as we're surrounded by like-minded people, and then we leave this environment and we go home or we go to work or we find ourselves a little bit isolated and we think, oh, nothing's changed yet. My daughter's still in an incubator. Jairus' daughter is still dead. That situation hasn't resolved itself immediately. And it's in those moments where the faith that Jesus speaks about is so critical. Because there's a gap between the promise being given and us seeing it fulfilled. And it's in that moment that faith is so important. It's in that moment that faith is so important. And so Jesus says to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. And Jesus walks with Jairus to Jairus' household. Jesus sees the commotion going on. Jesus sees the wailing and the funeral that's being started. And then Jesus speaks these incredible words that absolutely changed the life of Jairus and his daughter. Jesus went in to where the mother was and where the child was. And he takes them by the hand and he says to the little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the little girl stood up and began to walk around. At this, they were completely astonished. I mean, that's astonishing, right? That's astonishing. So the promise was given, the promise was fulfilled, but there was a gap. And in that gap, Jairus could have said, which everyone else around him was saying, could have said, let's give up, Jesus. You've got other things to do. You've got other places to go. You've got other people to attend to. We can just give up in this moment. Jairus could have said, there's no point. She's already dead. We've missed the opportunity. Jairus could have given up in that moment, but Jairus heeded the words of Jesus, which said, don't be afraid, just believe. And so in that moment, Jairus harnessed something of faith, and that faith sustained him in the walk. And that would have been the longest walk of his life, back from where Jesus was to his household where his daughter had just passed away. And Jairus harnessed that faith in that moment to stay the course, to stick with it. And for you, that might look a little bit different. For you, that might look like you still turn up to church, even though life is really tough. To you, that might look like you still opened up your Bible, even though you're struggling to understand the words that are in. To you, that might look like you still turn on Hillsong or Elevation Worship or Bethel Music and sing the songs like we've been singing this morning, even though you're in a season of waiting where you've not seen the promise fulfilled yet. But if you can stir up some faith in that moment, if you can stir up some faith in that moment to see something change, that's when you find yourself in a situation where you are completely astonished at God's goodness. Amen? Amen. Amen. This is what we need to do, church. And when we're making decisions, when we're making our plans, when we're caught in moments of struggle or tension or pain, this is what we need to do. We need to ensure that our plans line up with God's promises. Yeah. Ensure that your plans line up with God's promises. Yeah. See, that's what Jairus did in the moment. He could have started planning for a funeral straight away. He could have started planning for the worst case scenario that had already rolled out, or he could align his faith to God's promises. See, he was a synagogue leader of a church. He knew what they were saying about Jesus. He knew about the prophecies that were written about Jesus before Jesus came. He knew what Jesus could accomplish. And so he had to align his plans to those promises of Jesus. And the promise for him was that Jesus was a healer. So he aligned his faith to that promise. And he aligned his plans to that promise. And for me and Ames, when we were in hospital with Lena, like the struggle and the challenge for us was to align our plans to God's promises. God's promise that he is a healer. He was a healer 2,000 years ago, and he's a healer today. And so I wasn't going to get a parking permit for a month because I wasn't going to be there for a month. And it's easier said than done, but we had faith in that moment, and we got the right people around us to pray into the situation. And I made sure I was listening to Hillsong worship at the time, back and forth from hospital. And we were in a situation where 2 days later, the doctors came round on their rounds And their words were, it is impossible what has happened. They said it was impossible what had happened. Because her transformation had been so dramatic in those 2 days. And so I think in her official hospital notes, they say the doctors made a mistake on the Sunday because they can't fathom how incredible her turnaround was. I saw her in an incubator. They definitely didn't make a mistake. She wasn't very well on the Sunday. But what did we do? We aligned our plans with God's promise. And we had to have faith through Sunday. We had to have faith as we went to bed on Sunday night and Ames slept for a night without Lena by her side for the first time. And I had to take Romeo home and put him to bed and tell him we'll go and see his sister again in the morning. And we had to have faith through Monday, where we rocked up at hospital and she still got the tubes attached to her and we still couldn't take her home yet. We had to have faith on the Tuesday morning when we woke up and we still weren't that sure how things were going to work out. But that faith, aligning ourselves to that promise, that meant that on the Tuesday night, when the doctors took the wires off and we could take our baby girl home for the first time, we were astonished at what God had done. Astonished. And so I don't know what situation you're facing in your life. You might be facing a financial battle where the outgoings are bigger than the incomings. You might be facing a health issue in your life. You might be facing a relationship struggle with a co-worker, with a family member. I don't know what you're facing. What I do know is this. If you can align your plans to God's promise, if you can have faith even in the waiting, if you can have faith in that gap between the promise being given and the promise being fulfilled, then you can be equally astonished at how incredible God is. But it takes some activation from you. It takes you activating some faith and some perseverance inside of you. It takes you sticking the course. And if a verse could sum up a promise to help us in those moments, it's words that King Solomon wrote 750 BC. The wisest man ever to live wrote these words for his son. He said this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." See, sometimes having faith means we have to ignore our own understanding. Sometimes having faith means we have to ignore what the world says. Sometimes having faith means we have to cautiously disregard the facts and believe the truth of God's word, believe the promises of God's word. And so sometimes we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding, but in our ways acknowledge him and believe, trust in his promise that he will make our path straight, no matter how bendy, how curved they feel like. Amen. Hey, can you stand with me as we bring this to a close? First response is going to be a personal response. So why don't you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment and picture just you and Jesus in a room. Maybe you've never done this before and it feels weird, but go with me on this, I promise. And ask Jesus, where in your life have you been making plans that don't line up with his promises? Where in your life have you been letting fear be the decision maker? Where in your life have you felt the need to plan for the worst case scenario? And just ask Jesus to speak into that in a moment. Ask Jesus' love to cover the pain that is so real and so tangible in. Ask God's peace to flow into that situation. Ask God to give you a gift of faith to believe in the season of waiting between the promise being given and the promise being fulfilled. With eyes still closed, if you're in a season right now where you believe or you at least know of the promise of God, but you've not seen it outworked in your life yet, can you just pop up a hand? Lord Jesus, over these hands raised, Lord, I pray that you just flood with faith in the waiting, Lord. I pray that you make your promises so clear, so prominent, so purposeful, Lord. I pray that your perseverance inspires the day-to-day, Lord. I pray that you move in the situations, Lord. We pray for complete resolution, complete peace, complete joy. We pray for your miracle to outwork in those lives, Lord. We pray for stories where we are astonished at how great you've worked, where we are astonished at how incredibly you've moved, Lord Jesus. And this song that we sung earlier, this needs to be our anthem for these moments. If ever there was a song that could sum up the gap of society, if ever there was a song that could sum up or inspire faith in us, it's the declaring the words that God is our firm foundation, that he won't ever let us down, that even though the winds may blow, that our house is built strong on God. So it doesn't matter if you're feeling full of faith or full of fear. It doesn't matter if you've been using faith as a decision maker or fear. If we can get these songs in our heart, if we get these words in our heart, then we can step out in a way that maybe we've never stepped out before. And hey, just imagine with me what your life could look like if you started to make decisions based on faith. Imagine the stories, the astonishing stories you'd have if you could make decisions based on faith, aligning your plans to God's promises. Imagine what your family would look like if you could lead your family in faith-based decision-making. Imagine what this community of Podsme could look like, a community where other people have said, don't bother, it's too late, it's dead, it's buried. Imagine what this community could look like if a group of people stood up and started making decisions based on faith, believing for best case scenario, aligning our plans with God's promises. So hey, come on, why don't we sing this out together with arms raised, believing that God can do something astonishing.